Blog Talk Radio.
Expect the unexpected. Seeing before you know it. His covenant's not in vain once his promises start showing. So put your faith in motion. Praise him before you get it. Encouragement's on your radio. So come and listen in. His covenant cafe. Come get some praise in your system with Lamont Ferguson. Poetic laces in the building for the moms and pops and children. Ushers, pastors, musicians. Listen and pay attention. Expect a change and a difference. I'm too focused to let any doubt get in my way. Ultimate faith in God, I'll believe whatever he says. So glorify his name, he's more than worthy to be praised. I'm loving this covenant, covenant cafe.
Hello and welcome to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and the First Lady of the Covenant Cafe.
Charlie Baltimore. Hello,
Charlie.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing this wonderful February evening or morning or afternoon?
It is somewhere around the world, right?
Yeah,
we,
yeah.
I'm doing fabulous. Thank you.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yep.
The week was I'm doing fine. My week has been pretty productive. Everything has been going pretty well. I can't complain at all. On another note, I just actually like minutes before the show started, definitely got to lift up my uncle in prayer. He's he has pneumonia and the flu.
Oh, what's his first name?
Excuse, what's that?
What's his first name?
Terry. My Uncle Terry Collins. Actually, he's a pastor.
Okay.
So I was just kind of thrown off. I was trying to return some calls before the show started. And as I was returning those calls, that's what people were calling to tell me.
So,
lift him up in prayer because he's going through it right now. And it's looking pretty bad. So, yeah.
Yeah,
but
that's hard.
Yeah, because, you know, having the flu is bad, or having pneumonia is bad by itself.
Mm-hmm,
but
mm-hmm.
Having a combination of both is not good.
Right. That's what
yeah.
I had that, what was it, on New Year's Eve when I went to the hospital. It was like, you can't breathe. You know, not only you feel horrible, you can't eat, you don't want to do anything, and you can't breathe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
So, lift them up in prayer. So before we get started with our show, you know how we do, we don't have our word for the day, and you have that word for the day?
I do, because we're missing Lace today. Hi,
yes.
Lace, when you listen in.
So Lace is on a little hiatus today. So we got you, Lace, we got you.
Yeah, we do. Well, in thinking of, you know, in light of everything in general and stuff going on around the world, and all the division, you know, that's one thing that's always on my mind. You know me, I'm always united we stand and divided we fall. And so I kind of picked the topic of forgiveness. And when I looked up in Scripture, you know, in the I have a little topical guide where you can look up the word and it'll give you every place it's ever mentioned in the Bible. And it's in actually 20 books. And we know it's a commandment to forgive. And so as I was looking and I saw in Isaiah, the first chapter, and I'll kind of start at verse 6, and it was just a neat thing that touched my heart in there. I think this hits it on the head about how we are as a people right now was really remnant of, remind me of back when Isaiah had the vision about the son of Amoz, A-M-O-Z, which, you know, he was looking into Judah and Jerusalem at that time and what was going on, you know, with the kings of Judah. And so just to jump ahead to verse 6, he's talking about from the sole of the feet unto the top of the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores, and they have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire, and your land, strangers devour it in your presence, and it's desolate over and over by, you know, run over by strangers. And then it says, and the daughter of Zion is left in a cottage, you know, in a vineyard, in a lodge, in a garden of cucumbers, and besieged the whole city. Except the Lord of hosts let us, as a very small remnant left, we have been as Sodom, and you should have been like unto Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, and you rulers of Sodom, give ear unto the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah, that the purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, says the Lord. I am I'm full of burnt offerings, rams, fat, fed beasts, and I delight not in the blood of the bullocks or the lamb or as of the goats. And so when I was reading this and he's talking about all these little symbolisms, I look at our world right now and, you know, there used to be these feasts and celebrations that meant something. And all in all, when what's going on in the world right now of us not obeying our commandments, then not having forgiveness, like it's commanded where, you know, you jump down to verse 18, he says, come now and let us reason together, mm-hmm. says the Lord. That says, so we're going to reason together, said the Lord, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. And as though they be red like crimson, then they shall be as wool. All the things happening right now, you know, vain oblations and abominations going on. Number one, just not forgiving. If we would just stop and we had forgiveness in our hearts, and I mean, it starts way, way back, but even, you know, the things that went on, say, in your neck of the woods, most, you know, in the South with slavery, so much is blamed and upsetting, and people are divided still very heatedly right now. And with, you know, Martin Luther King Day just passing, it really hit me that the news media and many, many outlets out there that, you know, the prince of the airwaves is Satan. And it very well says that, prince of the airwaves, constantly drudging things up in remembrance. Not that we should ever forget, but we're commanded to forgive. And it's mentioned in, like I said, over 20 books. And if we just held in our hearts and really, really forgave and did not bring up that pain and pain and pain. And I'm not just saying with that, but several things, you know, there's been a lot of shootings like we talked about last week, things like that, that, you know, if we truly forgave, we wouldn't have so many issues, because without forgiveness, you know, we will self-medicate as a human being one way or another, whether, you know, it's literal medication, drinking, you know, fighting with other people, or just to get over that hurt. But that's why forgiveness is so, so important, that we can heal this country, heal ourselves. Forgive yourself, you know, start with that. Forgive yourself for your shortcomings and try and do better. But you know what I mean? That just kind of was weighing heavy on my heart. What do you think?
I mean, self-medicate, I definitely agree with that. And what we're seeing now, it's like, okay, how can I say this without, all right, you know, back in the day, people always say, oh, this is a sign of the times. But, like, really, like, we see a lot of stuff that is a pure sign of the times. I mean, like, mm-hmm. when you're talking about the gay marriages and how when growing up, that was just like, oh my God, I can't believe they're doing that. So it is acceptable, and they are provisions, and you have people that they're saying that being gay and going through what they're going through now is like the civil rights what blacks went through back in the day.
Oh, no, and I disagree with that. I hear you, because, yeah, that, yeah, nice try, you know, in general.
And my thing is, if you were beaten, if you were a water hose, there's no fountain. I'm not trying to get on soapbox, but there's when you go to a restaurant, you go to the restaurant and you sit and eat amongst everybody else.
Right.
When we're going through the issue of black and white, you would go to a restaurant and you couldn't even go in the front door. Some restaurants you had to go in
right.
the back door. All right?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't sit at the front of the room. You had to sit at the back of the room. You know what I mean? Going
right.
to school,
yeah,
the first girl, when the schools are integrated, they had to have the National Guard take these people to school.
Mm-hmm.
They never had to
yeah.
do that. You know what I'm saying? So you cannot
right.
compare those two. Only,
no.
only the only way I'm going to walk a thin line here is say this.
Come on.
The only way you can compare is the way people what some people say about homosexuality. That's it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's it.
Right. It's the decency of human beings. You're right. It's you are
yeah.
a human being, and the perfect cartoon I seen drawn one time. Are you ready for this picture? Think in your mind. There was a picture in the Daily Breeze in Torrance, California, the newspaper I saw. It was a picture of a black male that was all in white and had angel wings, and there was an unborn baby with angel wings, and they were sitting on a cloud, and the man, you know, peacefully, gently leaning over to this other little baby angel and says, "It's okay. They used to say I wasn't human either."
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't that just get you? I mean, in a nutshell, there's a big difference. There's attitude and there's behavior that
mm-hmm.
we're talking about versus with the gay lesbian community. But then there's humanity and the fact that you are a human being, a spirit child of God, you know, and a human being that they were classifying black as not being. And that's a huge difference. And the Arizona just has a law sitting on our governor's desk right now. And what it is a protection for religious liberties, right? And it goes right with this. What does the news media hype it as? Anti-gay movement. And it's like, no, in the state of Arizona, we can not hire you based on you being gay. It is legal, okay, period.
Wow.
It's legal.
So they
and,
say,
I mean, it already
like,
is. It already
in,
is. But this new law is
in Arizona.
Arizona. The owner of my company came out and told everybody, says, look,
wow.
and we have gays and lesbians that work for us, and you know the work I do. So,
yeah.
But he says, you know, that it is legal. It is legal. You can, this is not a right to work state. So for whatever reason, you know, other than whatever's federally protected by law,
mm-hmm.
they cannot hire you for that reason, period. It's
see,
law
that,
already. So, but this
that
new,
is wrong. That is absolutely wrong.
Right.
I mean,
in general, on face value, right. And I'm just saying with the way the law reads, but with this new law that they have sitting up there that they're waiting for the governor to sign, if she doesn't do anything, it goes into law, as long as she doesn't veto it. It's a religious protection thing because what's happening, if you look at Family Research Council, really, really great organization, they're showing this thing about the public bathrooms, you know, boys and girls can use the same one. It goes right along that same law. But here's what the deal is. They are targeting Christian groups on purpose and Christian-owned and run businesses who, you know, for instance, I owned a daycare center, remember preschool. I definitely would not want to be forced to hire, you know, a gay guy who cross-dresses in heels. Sounds real, you know, strict and out there.
Okay.
But I post to a preschool, how am I going to explain that, you know?
Okay,
that kind of thing,
interject.
But, go
okay.
ahead.
So when what you're saying now with the new law, it's
mm-hmm.
it's worse than the first law. Is you have to hire someone.
Yeah, that's one of the laws that's actually gone up and passed the Senate on a federal level. Okay, and they're trying to get it to pass a federal. That's supposedly an Employment Protection Act, but that's not what it is. It's specifically only that latter part I told you about. So Arizona
mm-hmm.
is passed a law right now, House and State cleared, voted in, that a religious rights protection, like your religious beliefs, that you can protect your business, like you wouldn't have to go, you wouldn't be forced to go take photos of a gay wedding, okay, because then they can turn around and sue you right now, which they're doing. They're targeting Christian businesses on purpose full force all the nation, all around the nation. They're targeting places. It happened in New Mexico, Colorado, Oregon, and there was a baker, like picture a family, you know, that has a baker, and they, you know, are baking cakes, and they do this as a family, and they're Christian-owned business. So we have a gay couple came in and says, we want a wedding cake. And they said, I'm sorry, we can't make one for you. You can go, here's other bakers. And nope, turned around and sued them and won. So that's wrong. I mean, in my eyes, it's like, hold on. There's plenty of businesses you could go to. Why'd you have to choose that one? And on their basic, they're religious being. So what's next? The devil worshiper comes and says, I want you to make special candles, you know, for these, you know what I mean? It just goes on and on. It's like, wait, we got a separation for a reason that, you know, you're allowed to carry on your belief. You can believe what you want, but why would you go and attack businesses now to push that forth? Now, that's no forgiveness. I understand, you know, I mean, there's a difference, but no way are they part of the civil rights movement. They try and do that in the women equality rights, lump it together in the civil rights. A civil has to do with, you know, your own personal being attacked for all across the board about being a human being. Nobody questions, you know, that these are human beings. It's their behavior and their right to act as they please, but don't legislate it and say, yeah, it has special protection so that you and I, we'd have to have them on our radio show or get sued. Do you want them to come on and profess, you know, anything other than Christ, you know, and get on a different kind of a soapbox? We'd be in trouble. You know what I mean? As a people, as our program could be ruined based on that, because we want to have it, you know, flow a certain way. Well, that's our right as a business owners and whatnot. But that new law that the feds passed, yeah, we would have to have equal opportunity to have them come on. Interesting, huh?
Yeah, and I don't agree with either law, because the first law states that you can't hire. That's absolutely wrong, okay?
You don't have to, yeah. You don't have to based on that.
But now...
And you and I both know you... Go ahead.
But now... they're forcing people to do that. I mean, I think
yes.
That's good. I think that's pretty crazy, and that puts puts a spin on those individuals as well as the businesses. I think what they're trying to do is say that we have equal rights, period. But
well, they do as human beings, period.
Yeah, but as far as putting things into law, I mean, like, even, I know this sounds crazy,
It's like legislating the gay movement, you know what I'm saying? They're trying to get rights.
It's the same thing as the affirmative action, saying that you have to hire a black person or a female, or, you know what I'm saying?
So many people in order to get government funding. Exactly. And
that's
to me, it's like the government has no business telling us what we have to do. They work for us. It's like, hold on. I understand protection all up on that. But it seems to me like they're taking a new angle at trying to get legitimized as something that God specifically said is inappropriate. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's very clear in the Bible. So they can't get the Bible to agree with them. They're trying to get people to agree. Okay, people agree. You're okay. You know, you obviously, you know, live and let live. That's what the Bible says too. But now they're trying to go into our court systems and legislate and force us to accept them to the point they can get married in some states now. But if we go back to the Bible, and I'm all in with that forgiveness. This ties all into it. You know, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I love the sinner. They're fine. Christ said it too. I love the sinners. Forgive, but there's that line that you draw that also they're trying to legislate your behavior now. What if, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To legislate that behavior that strictly says specifically, you know, is an abomination, and then to have it in your, you know, have it acceptable at schools and in the places of instruction and business. Like now you have to hire them. You have to have just so many, just like affirmative action. Hold on. This is a behavior and activity. What's next? Let's legislate alcoholics. Okay, you got to,
mm-hmm.
you know what I mean? It could go on
yeah.
and on. Too many laws to justify who and what we are. If we just follow the commandments, we'll be good. But you know what I'm saying? That you're right, because I don't particularly like the new Arizona law, because I'm thinking, why do we have to make a law like that? That's like making the law to protect the unborn babies. Why, you know, we have to do these laws to protect these unborn babies is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the same thing. They're taking that route. So it's just interesting, though, huh?
Yeah, I think it's very interesting. Wow. So what we're going to do, we're going to get into a break. We're going to play. You know, I always like to tie things, our songs into what we're talking about. So
yes, sir.
The song that we're going to tie into what we're talking about is by Poetic Lace. It's called Better Days. Because you know what? We're going to have better days. It's not always bad days. We're going to have better days. And these guys in these Congress and all these administrators, they're going to understand by the time we finish this show what we stand for and what's ahead, because better days, they're ahead, right? I don't know. I think I missed this one up.
Amen.
But,
mm-hmm. I like it.
Let's just get into Better Days here on the Covenant Cafe. Stand up.
I know it's getting hard out there. It's hard to look up while everything is clashing down. But if you would just hold on, I promise that you'll get better.
A silver lining comes when the sun goes. Try to guide you the one that he chose. Keep your head up, the days are gonna get better. Said it is just the intro to a love letter. Silver lining comes when the sun goes. Try to guide you the one that he chose. Keep your head up, the days are gonna get better. Said it is just the intro to a love letter.
Hello, Mr. Underdog, I wanna talk to ya. Cast your burden on the Lord, he'll walk for ya. I remember when I said, dog, I have a dream. Friends turn to haters easy, up there goes my team. They couldn't see in the dream, I'm the poetic fiend. God gives me the work, I hit it, then I gleam. On the death date of my dad came poetic late. They told me some things have to die to increase your faith. I still can't celebrate, I get to levitate. I gotta serve God before and after I elevate. It's kinda funny how things change in the new range. People acting strange, hard as I became. But oh well, God's with us, he won't fail. Stop and fast the devil, walking Christ's trail. He gave us rain for the roaches, swatters for the flies, traps for the rats. Yeah, Christ got a bang. A silver lining comes where the sun goes. Try to guide you the one that he chose. Keep your head up, the days are gonna get better. Said it is just the intro to a love letter. Silver lining comes when the sun goes. Try to guide you the one that he chose. Keep your head up, the days are gonna get better. Said it is just the intro to a love letter. Die young and the bad die old. We gotta be cautious so we don't get fooled. I mean the world so cold and the devil so bold. Don't forget at the Bible this was already sold. People are killing and stealing over some gold. Leaving bodies of can with maggots and mold. What do I do? What do I say? I'm praying for better days. Looking for better ways. But at the same time, I gotta dodge these bullet strays. But through it all, I learned to keep my head up. And if you give up, we'll get your bread up. Kids, smile, you're the future. To the parents, raise them up like a booster. It's so tough for the kids who aren't foster care, especially when the parent doesn't foster care. Not to mention how quick DCF will take a child. And when the mama fights back, they still keep it foul. No help, she yelps as her heart melts. Praying out to the court, hope her story tells. Through it all, baby girl, keep your head up. The Lord is with you and he can raise the dead up. A silver lining comes where the sun goes. Try to guide you the one that he chose. Keep your head up, the days are gonna get better. Said it is just the intro to a love letter. Silver lining comes when the sun goes. Try to guide you the one that he chose. Keep your head up, the days are gonna get better. Said it is just the intro to a love letter.
Wow. So there it is, Better Day.
Mm-hmm. That was good.
Poetic Lace here when they come in the cafe. He's out. He's on a little hiatus, but hey, he'll be back next week, you know. So, you know how we have the weird news, and I have some interesting things to talk about today when it comes to the weird news. There's always something strange happening out there. Do you realize that? Mm-hmm.
You there know, is. Totally.
So what we're going to do is we're going to... drop the bomb on him. Check this out. Reed Fontaine, Michael Jones, accused of sexually abusing cows.
Oh, wow.
Listen to this. Here. Check this out. A farmer in New York couldn't figure out why his cows seemed more anxious than usual. When they weren't producing as much milk as usual, he set up a surveillance camera. What he saw shocked him. Two men were rolling in the hay with his livestock. CNYCcentral.com reported, the farmer, whose name has not been identified, contacted the authorities who conducted their own investigation. As a result, Michael Jones, 35, and Reed Fontaine, 31, were arrested for misdemeanor sexual misconduct. UticaOD.com reported authorities said Fontaine attempted to have sex with several cows while Fontaine filmed the encounters, according to Syracuse.com. The two were released on a parent's ticket. The suspects aren't the first men accused of having a cow in the biblical sense. In 2008, the Zillion cleaner was accused of having sex with 400 cows. He said he preferred them, the more tranquil animals. It might be better to think twice before attempting sex with cows or any animal. In 2011, a study published in the Journal of Sexual Medicine found that men who have had sex with animals were twice as likely to develop penile cancer as those who stick with their own kind. What is wrong with people? That's all I got to say.
Uh-huh. I guess that's a fitting punishment. Interesting.
For real? Are you kidding me? Cows?
That's amazing, though.
Cows.
Right?
Cows.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you can't find...
It's not like they look sexy. You have no excuse.
I mean...
I don't know. We've been to some places that girls might look like that, but, you know, just kidding. But you... Oh.
Oh, my goodness. I'm like, are you kidding me? First of all...
That is...
You shouldn't be sexually abusing anything but cows. Cows. You get your cereal. You get your cereal, and you pour your milk into your Lucky Charms, and you think how unlucky that cow might have been.
I didn't even know. You just got a whole new vision. I didn't even picture. These could be some of the cows we're eating. We got our milk from these poor little cows. No wonder we're sick.
Oh, my.
China's a country. They've been abusing the animals.
Oh, my God.
That is weird, though. You won the contest of weird news, by the way.
Wow. Okay, let's move on. Robert McKevitt fired for allegedly using forklift to get Twix from vending machine. Milford, Iowa, Iowa man has lost his job and employment benefits for using a forklift to get a candy bar from a malfunctioning vending machine, state records say. According to state unemployment records released last month, this guy was working at Polaris Industry Warehouse in Milford when the incident occurred last fall. This guy, he wanted some candy, so he deposited his dollar into the vending machine for a 90-cent Twix candy bar, okay? But the candy bar got snagged on a hook and would not fall. He banged it, he rocked it, but that didn't work. The state record said that McKevitt then commanded a forklift, picked up the machine at least 6 times and dropped it about 2 feet onto the concrete floor. 3 candy bars fell, and he was fired 5 days later. McKibben told the newspaper recently that he never lifted and dropped the vending machine, but he did use the forklift to move the machine back into place. That machine was in trouble, McKibben said. They fired me, and now I hear they have all new vending machines there. Wow. Now, in a ruling released last month, a judge denied his claim for unemployment benefits, saying he willfully disregarded his employer's interests. So, we got people molesting cows. We got people flipping for Twix candy bars. You had to go get a forklift. All right, okay. Let's say this was your last dollar. Okay. We've all been at work when we had maybe a couple of dollars left because the rest of our money is in the car. We can't leave work to go to the car and get the money. We've lost money. It makes you angry. It's like, man, I am hungry. But then you go to the counter or who your human resource person is and say, hey, I lost my dollar in the vending machine. Can I be refunded? If they can refund it, you just, okay. You get it when you get out for it. But now you lost your job and you can't even file unemployment because you went and got a forklift. I like Twix, but they're not that good to get fired for. I'm sorry.
Right. So he lost his unemployment benefits because he stole the candy?
Well, yeah. He didn't get it. He can't get unemployment because he filed for unemployment.
Oh, right. Because he got fired for that. Okay.
Yeah, but he got fired because that was not in the best interest of the employer for him to be lifting up the vending machine and destroying the property.
Right. I get it. That's crazy. Because, you know, if you've ever lost any of those machines, unless you happen to catch the candy man when he's coming and going.
Yeah, and just tell him, hey, I lost a dollar in the machine. Hey.
Leave a note on it.
Wow.
I have to get after my kids. They have real long, skinny arms, and they came to my work, and she opens the thing up. I go, what? She goes, I'll bet I can reach those little coffees. And I go, no, you can't. And that's all I said. I didn't say go do it. She stuck her arm up, chink, and I'm like, give it to me. She reached up there and got a Starbucks out. He just didn't have a child with a long, skinny arm. See, they contortionists. But, yeah, I made him give it back. I go, put it back. And she looks at me. I go, never mind. Give it to me. I'm going to give it to my boss.
I think that's insane. I mean, like, for real.
Right.
I've been in the case where I've been, wanting a candy bar and I didn't have enough money because, I can't go to you can't go to your car and get the change. These guys are losing their minds. Okay, now check this out. Ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand this. This is crazy. We always have our burglary stories. Remember we talked about the lady who stuck up the same bank and said that she was back?
Oh. Yeah.
Now check out this.
Back.
check out this story. This guy by the name of Carlos, he allegedly stole a sound system and came back for the remote control.
He stole a what again? What'd you say?
He stole a sound system.
Okay, a sound system, and came back for the remote.
And he came back for the remote control.
Wow.
Check this out.
He needs a smack.
Yes, he needs a smack. I'm going to give it to him once I read the story. You got to hear this. A New Jersey man is accused of stealing a sound system was arrested because cops said he returned to the crime scene 30 minutes later to grab the remote control. Police in Hayden Township, New Jersey, arrested Carlos, 42, on Thursday and charged him with burglary, theft, and criminal mischief stemming from the February 4th incident. Surveillance cameras captured the suspect pulling up to a home in an SUV at around 9 o'clock a.m. Police said he broke into the house and walked out with a sound system and other valuables less than 10 minutes later. Now, he left the crime scene only to return 30 minutes later, this time to grab the remote control for the sound system. During his brief time in the house, Royce found time to feed the dog. Okay. He fed the dog while he was in there, while he was getting his remote control. Okay, now he was also committed, they're saying that he was committed a crime to fuel his heroin addiction. He faces an additional burglary charge in connection with February 7th burglary in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. He was also found to be a fugitive in a fraud case in Pennsylvania and is wanted by the Camden County Sheriff's Department for failure to pay child support. This guy is incredible. He also is being housed in the Camden County Correctional Facility on a $100,000 cash bail. He's not the only alleged robber who suffered a memory lapse. Then check this out. Before we get into this other story, what is wrong? I mean, I don't understand drugs are bad. I understand that. Is drugs that bad that you just oblivious to everything, like you steal something and then you come back for like it was yours in the first place, and then you try to have a kind gesture and feeding the dog? Come on. I mean, like, what is wrong? All right. Okay. Now check this out. In November 2013, Mr. Codd, this is someone else, left his cell phone on the kitchen counter of a burglarized home in Palm Beach County, Florida. Police were able to track him down when his mom called while they were trying to investigate. Okay, what is wrong? You know? And then, in February 2013, a man was accused of wildlife theft. He was arrested in Broward County because he forgot his own wallet at the scene of the crime.
Right. That's what stupid things criminals do, you know.
Yeah. Now,
that's amazing.
I want to get those the little funny ones out there because we have something more serious to talk about. Maybe I should have did it the other way around, but this one's going to take time to talk about. I don't know if you heard about this, but the pastor in Atlanta, Georgia, you heard the story about him?
No, uh-uh.
Okay. Pastor Craig Davis sentenced to 10 years for knowingly exposing women in the congregation to HIV. The Atlanta minister, Craig Lamar Davis, which is a former pastor of Full Gospel Baptist Church, was sentenced to 10 years in prison and 10 years probation on Friday for knowingly exposing women in his congregation to HIV. As previously reported by News One, Davis found guilty in January for two counts of reckless HIV. He was married at the time that the allegations came to light. Initially, he denied both his HIV status and cheating on his wife. In a last-ditch plea for leniency during Friday's sentencing hearing, he said that his actions were wrong. So this pastor, he was spreading HIV. He's having extramarital sex as well as having HIV.
Hmm.
So a couple of his people in his congregation possibly have this now because he knew he had it and was still making out with women outside his marriage. He had extramarital affairs with two women and did not tell either one of them that he was HIV positive. During his trial, Davis admitted that doctors diagnosed him with HIV in 2005. And while he admitted to having sex with a woman, The former pastor also denied a sexual encounter with a second accuser, Renita. Her name was Renita McAfee of Clayton County. She now tested for HIV. So she did test negative for HIV, while the second victim, who was allegedly celibate for 15 years before sleeping with him, the married pastor, tested positive. So one didn't test positive. Well, one was negative and one was positive. So the thing here is, it's right now he's getting 10 years probation. I mean, 10 years in jail.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have to weigh this in. Is that not enough, or is that too much? Because, and I'm not saying it's too much. My thing is this: you were a pastor. You're a man of leadership. Even if you say, okay, let's not be religious about this, but you're a man of leadership. People are believing.
A position of trust.
Yes, and you're probably talking down upon people who are cheating, because you're going to bring that up as a pastor, because in the Bible says you're not supposed to do that.
Right.
Now, knowingly that you had a virus that can kill people, you had sex with two people outside of marriage.
Mm-hmm.
One was blessed enough not to contract the situation, not to get the disease. The second person was not so fortunate. Now, she has a life sentence without committing a crime. You know.
Right. So other than adultery.
You know, yes. So they both was wrong as far as having, you know, her, you know, quite sure she knew that he was married, you know, all this good stuff.
True.
But now she's paying a dear price because this guy didn't tell her. You know what I mean? I'm not agreeing with extramarital situations. I'm not.
Right.
But if you are in that situation, which you shouldn't be, but if you are in that situation and you have this virus, you have to make it known. You have to. I think that is a ruthless act, because, and selfish act at the same time, because you're having sex outside of your marriage, and you do not have the decency to say, I know what we're doing is wrong, but I have to tell you something.
Right. Well, can you picture that conversation?
I have this disease. You know what I'm saying? Whoa, she's going to say, hey, we can't do this. Which she should have said, hey, we can't do this in the first place. But remember we talked about the way out? You know, when you're in a situation, God always provides a way out. And his way out was, apparently he struggled with, you know, sex. But his way out is he has a disease that he cannot do this. You know what I'm
right.
saying? You know, it's like,
yeah.
Hey, you cannot do this. You have this disease. And now
right.
you have affected someone else's
yes.
life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, say that last part.
You know, and you wonder how he contracted that disease in the first place. You know, I mean, we don't know if it was through medical reason or same thing behavior-wise. But all going back to that forgiveness issue, we could tie that right in. He obviously struggling with some demons in general, and he acted out in a fleshly manner. Now think how great Satan was celebrating that he could help break. I don't say he broke him, because we make our own choices. He was able to place enough roadblocks out there to him and just happy as can be. I mean, you took down a pastor. He instead of forgiving himself, okay, he made a mistake, and he had that. Now stop. No. Instead of forgiving himself, he started out on a vengeful pattern, couldn't stop for whatever reason, and risk the lives of other people on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing. That power of forgiveness, that self-medicate thing, you know, you got to stop And you can't just keep steamrolling it and make your life even worse. And now he's making other people's lives worse all around him. Now, if he has children, his children are affected. He's in prison for 10 years. Long, long time to be thinking about what you did, you know. And that's amazing.
And the thing is, that lets you know, as we talked about the gentleman that was on heroin and going back for the remote control, these desires are so strong, very strong, as you say, a demon, that they are willing to do anything to handle that situation. I mean, anything. Like this guy, the other story we talked about, he broke into the house, which was wrong. He stole his sound system, which was wrong. But he had the nerve to go back.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, man, I didn't steal everything I needed for what I want. You know what I'm saying? Everything I needed.
Let me get some movies, too.
Yeah, let me go back and get this remote control. I can't. This thing can't function without the remote control. Oh, well, I'm in here. I might as well feed the dog. I mean, you see what I'm saying? And then
we need a barbecue. Let's go get a barbecue and some food too.
Yeah, exactly. So, and this guy, this pastor, his desires were so strong that he has a disease.
Yep.
That's incurable. Which they say is incurable, which I don't believe. I believe they have a cure for it, but that's just my belief. But anyway.
Hey, Mr. John. He's.
Oh, my goodness. He goes on this. I mean, he goes outside of this marriage because his urges, his demons are so strong. He goes outside of marriage with a disease that can kill people. So, and like you said, you have a valid point. Now, you ruin someone's life. You know, pretty much you put a death sentence on that young lady.
Yep.
Is your family that has to deal with you in jail for 10 years? I mean, 10 years, yes, you may fly by fast if you're doing productive things, but if you're in a situation that you don't want to be in, 10 years is a long time. I mean,
it is. Nothing, in there that he couldn't stop himself. And so one thing you know, anybody who's had to even spend 24, 48 hours in jail, you get real close to God real quick, you know, under normal circumstances. And sometimes you just, you know, I know somebody personally who a friend of mine struggles all the time with stupid things, you know, drinking too much, getting in trouble, go to the casino, start fights, get thrown in jail. Every time God just picks him up and drops my friend in jail, and he has to really sit there, be sober. And, you know, we don't know what those other ramifications, the self-medication that this pastor might have been doing, but he isn't doing it now. You know what I'm saying? That lowered those inhibitions. But so God drops you in jail and just sits you there, and all of a sudden you get real clear thinking, and it's a horrible place to be. But sometimes God's got to put people there to sit and think and listen, and it's pretty quiet in most of those areas. It's you and God thinking and talking. And your head gets real clear there. But you're right, that's a mighty, mighty long sentence.
Yeah, so now the question on the table, the reason why I wanted to bring this up is that long enough or is that too long of a sentence?
I think, if you're asking me, I think it's too long of a sentence. I mean, in my heart, like that is a long time, you know. I mean, it really is a long, long time, and it doesn't, I mean, I understand the other lady has a life sentence, yes, and I don't know, I mean, that's where we can't legislate behavior. You know, did she know he was a pastor? Did she know he was married? Did she, you know what I mean? That's, if she knew all those things, I mean, obviously that's her own judgment hitting her with that kind of a disease. I mean, a self-judgment or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Yeah, she's got a life sentence too, in essence. But, you know, I don't know that any of that should weigh in on what his sentence ought to be. But he did violate a huge, you know, trust. I mean, yes, he's a pastor, but also, if they didn't know he's a pastor, then that doesn't matter. It just matters that that's how he knew his character and how he's supposed to carry himself as a human being, period. So it's kind of interesting it would be interesting to hear how the court and why they ruled or the information they were given and how he ruled, because if those lawyers, the prosecutors, used his office of being a pastor as a catapult for why he should spend more time in jail, I think that's equally as wrong as saying, you know, of course he would never do something like that because he's a pastor. You know, they'll pick and choose when they're going to use that, and that thought just came to my mind. But, I mean, it's a huge, you know, a huge trust issue. I mean, the law's the law. Obviously, they were able to give him a sentence because for some reason the law allows for the, whether they called it attempted murder. I think they probably gave him that, I imagine, because he knew he had that disease and he knew that it could cause somebody death. Now, they won't say premeditated. You know, you didn't wake up in the morning and want to go do it. Remember, we were having that kind of conversation last week. But that's interesting. What do you think?
I'm waving on the line of that's not long enough for the simple fact that you knew it regardless if you're a pastor or not. I'm not even putting a pastor title on the situation, even if he wasn't a pastor. You knowingly, let's not even say, let's take the marriage out. We're going to fill this thing back. Let's even take the marriage out. Let's say he's a single individual, just having sex wildly with these females. And
right.
If you did not know and you got 10 years, you say, Your Honor, I did not know. I really did not know. I did not know. This is when I found out. And I dated these women before I found out. You know what I mean? That's different. You
mm-hmm.
can produce documents and say that, you know.
Yeah.
We had dated way before I knew. Now you know.
Mm-hmm.
I understand it's probably tough to say, hey, I like you a lot, but, hey, I have HIV. You want to still be with me? You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, you have a deadly disease. You have to make people – it's the law. It's the law. Because even if you spit on an officer, you get more time. He would have got more time than that if he would spit on an officer knowing that he had HIV.
Right. And you remember how they had that thing out there trying to tell us when it first came out? Oh, it's not, it can't be, you know, in your saliva, XYZ. And you remember they had said all that? And the first thing that went through my mind was, when you brush your teeth bleed. I don't want, your gums bleed. I don't want to hear any of that. And the mosquitoes. I think all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with this guy's situation, you knew you had it. Okay, this is before you, okay, we all know that he's married. But the number one thing, you knew you had it. This woman, let's say she knew that he was married. I still believe that's wrong for them having that affair. But she still has the right to know what's going on with you.
Mm-hmm.
You
get that.
I mean, I really believe she has the right to know that. Now, she is, I mean, like, she has a disease now because you were being selfish. She has to pay the price. Now, not only are you affecting your family, your wife, your kids, if you have kids, your immediate family, people that have seen you in the press, your church members, all of that. It has an effect on all that. Now you're affecting her family, too.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What if she wanted to have more kids, or if she don't have any kids? What if she want to have kids? Now she gets cheated. Now she don't want to have kids, probably, because now she has this virus. It's a risk that she's taking. Now you just eliminate another generation of people.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, it's just, I don't know if he does support all that in law. I don't know because I do not know law like that.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if they prosecuted him also for adultery. You know, I mean, those 10 years, it could have been, you know, 5 for this, 2 for that, this. You know, I mean, they divide things up like that and give you a maximum, or they just try and go for whatever they can get the most of. Obviously, if you ran through a stop sign and, you know, and murdered somebody, they're not going to say, oh, you ran through a stop sign. So, no, you murdered somebody, you're getting that, the max sentence. So I wonder which one they chose in general. But
yeah. No, we can't all the way through. No, actually, he really got 20 years because he has 10 years in jail and 10 years probation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you got 10 years probation, and I would love to see the probation rules on that. You know, no sex allowed. Probably they get thrown back in jail.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like, and the thing is, I don't understand how that probation was working for him, like you said, because and it's not like he committed, like he was a person that was breaking, you know, committed robberies and selling drugs.
Yeah.
If I catch you doing this again, but it was a mere situation where, not mere, but it was a situation that he gave someone this disease.
Well, So yeah, you can't let that, right? Well, it's like, you know, the sex offenders in general and pedophiles alone, when they let them out, part of their probation is to ingest a chemical, whether it's through a shot, that makes them not want to be sexually active. But I've done case studies, you know, from my schooling and stuff in psychology that show most of them, when they get out, they stop taking that medication and then they're back on that issue. But they do that with a lot of things. You know, you're insane, you're this or that. Okay, we're going to let you out, but you got to take this medicine so you don't want to kill people. Great. You know, they don't take it. It's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Weird, huh?
Yeah. So, I think that's pretty crazy. So what we're going to do, we're going to get into a couple of songs. We're going to do back-to-back here on the Covenant Cafe. This is a rare occasion. So what we're going to do, we're going to play Gail Fly in the Presence of the Lord and Michelle Williams, Heard the Word, here on the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Charlie Baltimore,
Gail Fly here on the Covenant Cafe.
No other place I'd rather be than in the presence of the Lord. How I long to be where worry and care cease. Highest mountain cannot compare. All I know is
to sit here talking trying to keep my spirits high so I can walk in you used to be right next to me all the things you dream about when you're a teen now it seems like everything so far away then one day you know your promises. I thank you, Lord, I thank you now. Cause everybody needs somebody standing by the side. You look at the road, it gets rough, still you say to yourself, I tried. Now I'm ready for the fight. Send a little help, let your angels fly.
Like a neo soul type of song right there, Michelle Williams. Heard a Word here on the Covenant Cafe. When you hear songs like that, it just puts you in a laid back mind frame. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely.
That, like I said, that neo soul type vibe, but while we were playing these songs, I saw Deacon walking back and forth, so we're gonna let him come on in, and I'm actually gonna try to get out of here before he comes in. Yes, amen, Lamont, you just sit there and don't say a word. Heard a Word by Michelle Williams. I heard it out there in the lobby there. And, amen. How are you, Charlie?
I'm doing fabulous. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Absolutely. So I see that Poetic Lace took some time off.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Amen. Because he must have the notion that he's going to be replaced one of these days. I'm not saying by whom. I'm just saying he better be careful. Because in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's Genesis 1:1, and God has created Deacon to do radio shows. Amen?
Yes, sir. Amen.
And I would like to say this. Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And I've already presented my request to God about being a host one day, and you might want to pass that word of advice to Lace. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision. He said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking and do not be silent. Acts 18:9. And I'm going to keep speaking and not being silent about what I want to do. Amen?
Amen.
Yes. Okay. So what I wanted to do is get into a few facts that I know at my age, and you have wisdom when you're my age, because you guys don't have that much wisdom at this point in time, but where I am in my life, I have lots of wisdom. So did you know that the catfish has over 27,000 taste buds?
Wow.
Yes. And yes. And some lions mate over 50 times a day. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
And did you know that butterflies taste with their feet? So I guess that comes from the term, when I cook this, I tell people I put my foot in it, because butterflies taste with their feet. Amen?
Amen to that.
The strongest muscle in the body is the tongue, and I have a very powerful tongue. So that's why I'm going to be on this show as a host one of these days. you know, as you speak about the tongue, I know I'm here for the useless facts, but the tongue is a powerful tool. It can build people up and as well as tear people down. You can tell someone, hey, you look good today, and you might have affected their day. Or you can tell them something very negative and affect their day as well. So it goes to tell you how powerful the tongue is. You can speak success and be successful with the tongue. You can say that I can do all things through Christ, which is strengthens me. You understand? And you can become strong. You can become a warrior for Christ. Amen?
Yeah, amen.
Did you know that owls are only the only bird who can see the color blue?
Really? Huh.
And did you know a man named Charles Osborne had the hiccups for 69 years?
Wow.
Yes. The average person laughs 10 times a day.
Yeah. That's probably on this show might be a little more.
Yes, yes. Now, this is for all my coffee drinkers. If you yelled for 8 years, 7 months, and 6 days, you would have produced enough sound energy to heat up one cup of coffee.
Wow.
And a couple more. A cockroach will live 9 days without its head before it starves to death. Did you know that?
I had no idea.
And next time you see someone who has lost some weight, ask them if they banged their head. Because did you know that banging your head against a wall uses 150 calories an hour?
Wow. New diet flash.
Yes. See, people are on these crazy diets. So next time I see someone, I'm going to tell them, just bang your head a couple of hours a day. You shall lose your weight. And you will lose your common sense because that will hurt. Amen?
Yeah. Amen.
And before I leave, I'm going to tell you something. Galatians, I'm going to leave you with this. Galatians 5:22. Before the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Just be patient, and I will be back next week. So be patient, because I have more kind words. Have a peaceful week, a joyful one, and love someone, because the goodness of the Lord is always good. And your faithfulness will shine bright when people see you. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for coming.
No problem. And you see those fans out there, I'm about to go see those guys. And Lamont, you may talk now, okay?
Take it.
Hey. That was interesting.
I tried to open up the door and see why they were still out there yelling. Okay, well, now I'm
trying to say good job.
I don't want to say too much of a good job because he's trying to take Lace's spot.
I know. He said he was going to get used to it and hang around a little longer. Lace was going to be like, he said, what?
Yeah.
You know, he was a bit nicer this time. He's never mean to me. I'm glad he likes me. So,
I don't know. Maybe because he likes you, I think. Maybe because of, I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what.
Because I'm a girl.
You said what?
I'm by less threatening. I'm a girl. He doesn't want my spot.
Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Deacon is funny because as I was sitting there, he was just, I was saying some stuff that I'm like, how do you know this stuff? I don't understand. I don't understand how he knows these things.
I
mean,
I
don't know when you pick up this stuff. I just don't know. Like, when do you... Charlie, I meant to tell you this. Lamont, you just sit there as I get my practice. And man, Charlie, I think you're a wonderful person, and that's about it. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Amen.
No problem. So what I'm going to do, Lamont, I see you want to talk, but I'm going to go into a song because I need my practice, because one of these days I am going to be the host of the Covenant Cafe. Because you know what? Just like my friend Jason Hendrickson said, more than a conqueror, that's the name of the song that I'm going to introduce. More than a conqueror. I am Deacon, and I am more than a conqueror here on the Covenant Cafe.
Listen, we just come to encourage you today. No matter what you're going through, no matter what the enemy is going through. feel more than a conqueror. I got my man K Black, fishing head, and of course you know it's your boy J N. I want you to listen to the words of this song. I want you to believe it, confess it out your mouth, that you are more than a conqueror. K, can you help me right here, man?
Check it out, y'all. No matter when problems come my way, you're always there for me. Through all my failures, my ups and downs, you always let me see. Hey, if I hold on to your promise, you always know working out, cause I'm more than a conqueror.
I mean, that was a good song, but what is Deacon doing?
I know, right? I don't know.
He came in and, why did I tell Lace? He came in and he was like, okay, he gave you your props, like, okay, you're a cool person and all. And then he just like, okay, he meant to toss to a song. I mean, we didn't even talk about this. Here's the deal. I don't mind him being on the show. But let us know when you're going to come and sit in and toss the songs and stuff.
Right.
His portion is to let us know about the facts that we don't know about. And he had some good facts today. But
yep.
Then
he's
tossing the songs and stuff. I don't know. I think Lace better watch out. And then he tossed to a song stating that he's more than a conqueror.
Oh, yeah. That was interesting.
That's really interesting. I don't know. All I got to say is Lace better watch out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I was going to say something. I was actually thinking about that story that we actually discussed, if you were just tuning in, about the pastor. Now, okay, where did we draw the line, like, as far as charging people for these type of crimes? If you're just tuning in, I just kind of wanted to touch on this. I know we talked about it, and I was just thinking about it, and, digging through me all off. I don't know what's going on with that guy. But where do we draw the line far as charging? Like, how many years? Is there a standard? Like, this person gets this amount of years. Because, like, if you murder somebody, there's a set amount of time. If you break into someone's house, that's a misdemeanor. That's a certain, Is there somewhere, I want to know, and I need to look this up, is there somewhere in our law books that states, like, how much time do you give a person that, may commit this type of crime?
Right. Yeah.
So do we say, hey, this pastor, he gets, because, like you say, because he's a pastor, did he get more time because he is a person in leadership? Or does he get more time because, should he get more time than he has because he knowingly, has sex outside of his marriage knowingly, and it wasn't just with one person? It's like a repeated offense. If it was just with one person, that's one thing, but it was with multiple people.
Right.
So it was more reckless than anything. Mm-hmm. So where do we draw the line at? Where do we say there may be a solution to this. And maybe if they get a standard 20 years off the top, a standard, like, okay, man, if I commit this crime, I am getting 20 years minimum for this particular crime that I committed.
Right.
Or is it a situation, is it a case-by-case thing? What do you think about that?
I think personally because that is something that, the gravity of doing that and what's so known about it is it could be standardized. It really could be standardized, like on a federal law, that because it's such a, it's such a heinous, act to do that. So then I guess it would kind of be like anything else, murder or the possibility of murder in general. I mean, when is it okay to kill someone? Well, if you're fleeing for your life, if your life is, but that gets to be a pretty slippery slope, you know, because it's not an appropriate plan of attack in the reverse. There's no excuse for why you would do something like that. You couldn't say, well, they tried to kill me, so I did this, you know. So, I mean, that was this test, you know what I mean? It could be pretty standardized across the board that if you're found doing this, this is what's going to happen. I mean, pretty much like kidnapping. If you kidnap somebody, or especially a child, you know, there are certain laws across the board. You're going to get a sentence, period. But then you got the only things that they could get out of it is going to be, you know, are they mentally unstable? Were they insane? Are they, you know what I mean? There's always those things. But, yeah, I think that you could have a set thing, you know, 10 years.
Hold on. Let's go to a line. Someone's calling in. Hold on 1 second. Caller, you're on the air with the Covenant Cafe.
Good afternoon. This is Author T. E. Bass. I'm just hanging out with you guys, listening in.
Thank you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta.
Atlanta. Wow. And you were you're in the city where actually we were talking about this, the pastor. That he actually received 10 years sentence and 10 years probation. I'll add it to that. Are you familiar with this story at all?
I'm just tuning in. So, which pastor are you talking about?
There's a pastor. Actually, I just logged out of that particular story. There's a pastor in Atlanta. Actually, he's serving time for knowingly passing HIV. To a woman, actually, he's having extramarital sex, and he knew he had AIDS, and he passed it on to one lady. He had an affair with two different people. One person did not receive it, and the other person did receive it.
I'm familiar.
Yeah, so are you familiar with that story at all?
It's ringing a bell. Are you asking me what I think should happen to him? I think that 10 years is not enough because he in essence, he's committed murder. She's going to die because of what he did, and he's supposed to be a man of the cloth. Men of the cloth are held at a higher standard. He knew better. He was a misrepresentation of our father. He disrespected the church, marriage, this woman. 10 years is not enough if that's what you're asking. 10 years probation, 10 years prison, I don't think that's enough.
Okay. Because and that's some of the things that we were actually discussing. We actually discussed the story earlier, and we pretty much came back to it. And that was my thing as well, being that this is a disease that kills, by them only giving him – they gave him 10 years in jail and as well as 10 years probation. My thing is, how do you justify the 10 years probation? It's not as if he was a person that was a criminal, you know, out, you know, selling drugs, breaking and entering, things of that nature. So how do they justify the 10 years probation instead of giving him a solid 20 years?
The full 20 years. It is my opinion they should have just given him 20 years if they were going to convict him of it. They should have convicted him of the 20-year sentence. You cannot murder somebody and walk off the street after 10 years and say, well, I'll just serve the rest of my time at home with an ankle bracelet on, or maybe not. Or to be set free so that you could commit the crime again. I don't understand that. So I would say I don't understand why they didn't just give him a full 20 years either. What about that woman? What about their family? What about the other person who may or may not find out later down the line that she too has been infected? And what about the people they've laid with after that who may be infected? 20 years, not only is it not long enough, but he definitely should not have probation.
His name is Pastor Craig Davis.
Right. I look at it this way because, you know, when somebody commits a crime, like, say, with a weapon, there's laws that they can no longer have weapons and you can take them from them, but not that they can't find one, but you can't take his weapon from him for what he did. It's going to still be there when he gets out. So, real interesting.
Wow. Yeah, that's definitely – you definitely have a valid point. And like I said, I just didn't understand why would they give him – 10 years probation. Essentially, they just only gave him 10 years. You know, So, I really thank you for tuning in. And you calling from Atlanta. You said you're a pastor yourself?
No, this is Author T.E. Best, Tammy Best. I am a minister, but I'm an author as well. I just happened to call in early and I caught the end of your conversation. But I would like to, if I could have been a fly on the wall in that court, I would have asked them the same question.
Oh,
no
yeah.
kidding. Tell me, you said you're an author. What kind of book did you write?
I've written Secret Survivor, Her Story, which is my testimony of surviving childhood sexual abuse and sexual violence on many levels, rape, statutory rape, gang rape, teen pregnancy, my testimony of how I survived through that. And after that one was featured on the 700 Club. And then I wrote Raining After the Rain, Living Freely After Abuse. You know, sexual immorality is running rampant in our communities. I'm sorry?
Nice.
Tell
me how.
Say that again.
How do you?
We're losing you.
If you can
I'm
hear
here,
me, I was trying to get. Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
I'm here. I can hear you, but you were breaking up. I'm sorry.
Okay. That's okay. So how do you spell your name? So I can look. I'm going to look that up for sure.
T.E. Best, B-E-S-T, as best friend. You can go straight to www.authortebest.com. They did CBN did an excellent job of the 700 Club, actually put a four-minute clip together telling basically what Secret Survivor, her story, is about.
Mm-hmm. I know them very well. I've met them as well some years ago. I work fundraising for the American Center for Law and Justice, something they're very familiar with. But yeah, I love them. They have great stuff. I'm going to look that up. Thanks for sharing.
You're welcome.
Wow.
Thank you for going and looking that up. You know, we need to have a voice for when we go through and we have a testimony, it is our obligation, our duty to go out and help other people, especially once we've been healed, delivered, and set free. It's time for us to take a stand and be the voice for victims who don't know how to take a stand as yet, or feeling afraid, or feeling alone, or feeling defeated, to let them know that God is no respecter person. If he did it for me, surely he could do it for you. And so that's my mission, that's my goal, that's my purpose, is to be a voice for people who feel that they're voiceless, to bring awareness to the fact that this is happening. April is National Sexual Abuse Awareness Month, but this is something that we need to be aware of all the time, 24/7. It can't just be during the month of April with a turquoise ribbon. It has to be all the time. Our world is constantly populating. We have children. It's happening to our children. It's happening to our seniors. It's happening to our teenagers in the hallways. When my daughter was in high school, she was accosted in the stairwell. Thank God nothing happened. But, I mean, it's all over the place. And so when we find strength in an area, it's our job, our responsibility to go out and share that strength. And that's what Secret Survivor, Her Story, and Raining After the Rain, Living Freely After Abuse is all about.
Awesome. Then you were able to give forgiveness on that, obviously, since you've moved forward. That must have been a hard process itself, right?
Well, you know what? Some people really don't like to hear what I'm about to say, but the truth of the matter is, forgiveness is the way to freedom. And it may sound like a cliche to say forgiveness is not for them, it's for you, but it's actually true. Because this is the epiphanal moment that I had. If God says, if you come to me and you repent from your sins and you he's faithful and just to cleanse you of all unrighteousness, what if that person who offended me, those people, I mean, I'm talking from my earliest memory was age 4, all the way up to preteen. Then I got pregnant at 13 by a man who was 21. So the cycle just kept going and going and going. If they go before the Father and ask for forgiveness, he forgives them if they're sincere about it. Then they'll go to heaven when they pass. If I don't forgive them for what they've done to me and I stand before the Father and I have unforgiveness in my heart, then I'm not going to get in while they're standing on the other side waving, hey, I got my forgiveness, I'm on this side. So my thing was, one reason to forgive is because I want to get into heaven. The other reason to forgive is because as long as you're holding on to that hatred, you're bound by the thing that they did to you, and you're not able to move on and live in the God-given purpose that's for your life. So it is very important to forgive. It is a process. It's not like, I'm not saying forgive and forget. I'm saying forgive, move on, get to a place of freedom so that your offender can no longer have control over your life. You will no longer be in bondage. So the people who abuse me, they could stand right in front of me, and I will not be afraid. I will not relive what happened to me. I know it, but it's a difference between knowing something and reliving that thing. God could put you in a place where you could remember and not relive. And that's what Reigning After the Rain, Living Freely After Abuse is about. It's teaching you the tools, giving you the tools you need to get to a place of freedom so that you could have peace and wholeness and deliverance, and you could help the next person get to a place of freedom and wholeness and deliverance. It's like if a person suffered from alcoholism and they were delivered, they can go and talk to the person who's still in that position where they're an alcoholic and say, look, I was there, I've been there, I've done that, but I'm delivered and my life is so much better for it. They will listen to that person who's recovered and been delivered. But if I've never had that problem and I went to them, they're looking at me like, how would you know? Do you know what it's like? And so it was a tragic thing for me. However, it's turned around for God's good because I can say, if someone says, well, I'm a victim of incest, I can say that happened to me. If they say I was gang raped, I could say that happened to me. If they say I'm a product of statutory rape or I had a child with somebody who was way older than me, I can say that happened to me. It's unfortunate that I'm able to identify with that, yes.
Yeah.
But if I can help the next person get past that, get freedom from that, then it was a small price to pay for me. Because he allowed me to live through it. The Father allowed me to live through it so that I could be a help to the next person, so that I can be a voice for the next person. So that person who's contemplating suicide because they've been violated, I can tell them I've been in a place where I not only contemplated but attempted suicide, and I lived through it. And I would say it's a permanent solution to a temporary problem. So I'm able to speak to that and say, this is how I know. I'm able to speak to that woman who feels like she can't be a mother because nobody's going to want her because of what happened to her. I have 5 children. So I'm able to tell you that you are worthy. You can be made whole. You do deserve freedom. And whatever happened to you, whether it was incest, molestation, rape, gang rape, statutory rape, it was not your fault. I don't care if you were wearing a skirt up to your throat and a shirt down to your waist. It was not your fault. Now, I'm not condoning that we can talk a whole other subject about the way you dress, but the way a person dressed doesn't warrant somebody violating them. So I can speak to that on so many levels.
Right.
Wow.
True.
Awesome. I love that whole scenario. She wasn't present for us earlier, Lamont, when the topic I picked today was on forgiveness, our word of the day.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah, how God works on this show, I'll tell you.
Now I have a question for you. How long did it take for you to get to the point of being able to see your perpetrator face to face? If I can say that. You know what I mean?
You mean as far as her healing?
Yeah, as far as the healing process, I guess. How long did it take for you to be able to go through?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I hear a two-part question. One is, you know, how long did it take me to get to a place where I'm healed enough to be around them? And another place is, how long did it take for me to be able to actually stand in front of them? Because when you start to heal, the healing process, it doesn't necessarily mean you'll be able to be face-to-face with them. Because, to be honest, I still had times where I wanted to exact revenge. I wanted to say, well, God, you're taking too long to punish them. I wanted to be the punisher. So it took me a long, long time. I started writing Secret Survivor, her story, when I was 17. It started off as notes in a me notebook, a five subject me notebook. They're not paying me or anything. It just happened to be that kind of notebook. And I would always tell them, when the book came out, I told one of my brothers, who happened to be one of my offenders, that he reminded me that I was always saying that I was going to tell. I was going to tell everything that they did to me. I wasn't strong enough when I was a child, but that one day I was going to tell. So it took from 17 years old to 26. I was pregnant with my third child. I had been married for about a year and a half. And I was at church, and I don't remember what the pastor was preaching about, but I remember the Holy Spirit speaking to me, telling me, you're hurting because you haven't forgiven. And I said, what do you mean? I haven't forgiven. You know, you can have this kind of dialogue with the Father, and after you think about it, you're like, you must have been crazy talking to him like that. But he knows who you are. He knows what you're thinking, so you might as well be real about it and tell it to him. The way you're thinking it is not like he doesn't know. And so I'm sitting there, and I'm pregnant as can be, and I'm crying hard, and nobody knows why I'm crying. I'm just sitting in the service crying. And he's saying, I said, why am I still having nightmares? Why do I close my eyes and I still see what happened to me? Why do I still feel what I felt when it was happening to me? I forgave. He said, you forgave with your mouth. That means you said, I forgive you. It didn't mean anything. So then I forgave with my mind. Okay, I can forgive him. I'm just going to move on. I'm going to try to forget. That's not forgiveness. He said, you have to forgive in your heart. And that's when he reminded me that, you know, if somebody asked me for forgiveness, I wipe their sin away. And I cried. It was a hard thing for me to deal with. I don't understand how that could be fair, that they can do what they did to me and take my childhood and then come to you and say, I'm sorry, and you'll be okay with it. Then I realized that God is such a personal God. And so, to answer your question, I was 26. My earliest memory was 4. I was 26 when I got to a place where I could actually be around them and not feel like I just wanted to slap the taste out of their mouth or make them feel the pain that I felt. Now, I can be around them now. I still limit the amount of time because you have to know where you are, know yourself mentally. So I limit the amount of time that I'm around them. I don't go around them if I don't have to, but it's family. You're going to have family reunions. You're going to have other engagements. You have nieces and nephews and uncles and cousins, and everybody's related, and they're going to be there. So at some point, it's inevitable, but it took years. It took years for me to get to a place where I could be around them.
I deal with at-risk youth. I'm a mental health counselor at an alternative school, and I deal with kids that have been abused, males and females. And it's just amazing how it affects people different for the same cause. You know, you understand what I'm saying? I know one female, she did not like anyone behind her, period.
Yeah.
If you're talking to her, you have to be on either her left side or the right side or directly in front of her, never behind her.
I have and that comes because she probably got attacked from behind. They always came at her from behind.
She's very adamant about that. And then there's a young man who I've worked with in the past. He was a very sexual guy. There's always comments and things of that nature coming out. Anytime someone says something, it's always getting twisted into a sexual comment. And his history, his stepfather molested him and his brothers. You know, and with him, you could stand behind him and say, hey, so-and-so, come here. But with that female, you could not. So I guess that, you know, answers that question, you know, being that maybe she did get a text from behind. And I know that around certain people, certain colognes, you should not wear because that reminds you of the person that victimized.
Yep.
Wow.
There are all sorts of triggers that a person who has been victimized by sexual assault of any kind, there are triggers. There are smells. There are tastes. There are sounds. There are, it could be a random set of colors that are in front of you. I know that I always tell my husband and my kids, do not sneak up on me. Even now, I'm healed and delivered and
right.
free, but my reflex action is if you sneak, you step up on me and I'm not aware that you're coming, you might get yucked in your throat or something
right.
because it's a defense mm-hmm. mechanism. I remember
yep.
one day I was with my husband, and I don't remember what the smell was, but the smell triggered a memory that I had suppressed, and I was like, oh, my goodness. I remember something that happened to me that I did not remember, and I thought that I had gotten all of it out of my system when I wrote these first two books. But that smell
mm-hmm.
triggered a memory that went all the way back to when I was in elementary school. So there are a lot. There are so many different things that can trigger a person's memory.
Now, you said I understand the sound, the smell. Now, you said taste. How could taste be a trigger?
That's
one of your senses.
Yes, you're affected. When you're abused, you're affected. All of your senses are affected. It could
wow.
be that you were eating a cupcake at the time that the abuse started. It could be that somebody
mm-hmm.
shoved something in your face. When they abused you. It
mm-hmm.
could be that during that time in your life, that was something that was served to you often. It could,
okay.
it is anything, you know.
I mean, if I can interject on that, I'm a psych major. That's what's interesting with all of us here at the same time. That whole thing is like memories are attached to five senses, all five of our senses. And you know what they are too, Lamont. So like,
mm-hmm.
That is exactly why. It's a good memory, bad memory, emotions are attached to taste, sound, smell, all that sight, textile, touch, even touch.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with something wet or like, you know, with you and you had that happen. I've had several of those things happen, but blood in your mouth even. And I mean, how many times is that
mm-hmm.
going to happen? Once in a while, absolutely will bring you right back to that place, that moment, instantly, memory, feeling, headache, pain, wherever, whatever was going on, all comes back instantaneously. And that's a definite proven fact. But go ahead.
Wow.
You have to be careful, too, how you approach people because you don't know what their triggers are. You know, a lot of people are very touchy-feely. They'll come up to you, and they might touch you on your shoulder. They might touch you on your wrist. They might, when they go to greet you, put their hand around your waist. You have to be very conscious of the way that you – because you don't know. Sexual abuse does not really have a face, just like this man with HIV. This
mm-hmm.
I don't even want to call him a pastor, but this criminal who spread this HIV to these women, put these women in danger, I just looked at a picture of him. He does not look like he has anything.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. He looks like a clean-cut man. He looks like you could trust him, but obviously you couldn't. So it's the same with a person who's been abused. Just because you're not going to know unless they tell you, you're not necessarily going to know unless you've mm-hmm. been in that situation. The way that works with me is I can sense it. When somebody, I can say, oh, wow, something's going on with that person. And usually they'll just start pouring out.
Yep.
I'm not going to say to them, have you been abused? Obviously, that's just not right to do. But you'll find
right.
that when you know what it's like, it you're just drawn to it. So you have to be careful how you approach people. You just never know. And you can't freak out. You
mm-hmm.
can't freak out when they spaz out. You have to kind of pull yourself together and think, okay, something is bigger is going on. It's not just me. And reevaluate
right.
that and listen. Sometimes people just want you to listen. It's not that they want you to jump into action. Sometimes they just want you to listen, and they will tell you what's going on. You don't necessarily have to prod and poke them to get the information.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Good point. Wait. Definitely enjoyed having you on the show. Now, how can people? Are you on the social networks? How can people purchase your book? Is it on Amazon? Just via your website? Can you give that information to us, to the audience?
You can go to www.authortebest.com. That's AUTHORETE. BEST, best like best friend.com. It is available on on Amazon or through my website. You can find me on Facebook at Facebook.com/author TE Best. If you just type in TE Best, you'll see me there. If you type in Tammy Best, TAMMIE, you'll see me there.
Okay. Now, one more thing before you go. Are there any other books that's in the works that you want to talk about that's coming, or are you just going to focus on you know, promoting and are you doing speaking engagements as well, correct?
I am a member of the RAINN, R-A-I-N-N Speakers Bureau. So I do speaking engagements. I do have a workbook that's coming out that accompanies RAINN After the RAINN, Living Freely After Abuse. I'm working on a few children's books, believe it or not. I have 5 children, so my intent is to write a book for each one of my children specific to their character. I have my own show, Real Talk with Tammy. I'm doing a lot, but it's going to be fruitful, I'm sure.
Awesome.
Well, I commend you on that after all you've been through is amazing. Turn something so negative around so positive, and then I just totally commend you, especially putting it in God's hands and allowing God, you know, to really act through you like that is just awesome. So definitely.
Praise God. All glory be to God. And, you know, it has, like you said, forgive. When you asked about forgiveness, forgiveness does, in fact, equal freedom. It really, really does. And you have to be willing to trust God and know that he's going to make a way of escape for you. We're not the first people that this happened to. It started way back in the Old Testament. You see where Lot's daughters committed incest with their father. Then you see in Samuel, where Tamar was raped by her stepbrother, and then he threw her to the side. And that's actually how I began my journey to healing, because my name is Tammy and her name is Tamar. And he began to show me the similarities between me and Tamar, the similarities in our names, the fact that her stepbrother was the first person to abuse her, and it started with my stepbrother. And how, when the parents found out, when King found out, he didn't do anything. When he found out about it, kind of just let it ride. And that's what happened to me. So he kept showing me all these similarities. And it seemed like when I began to read his word, I started to see, wow, I'm not the first person this happened to. And when people were saying everything that you could live through or go through is in the Bible, he'll show you how to survive through it, the words really began to jump off the page, and I really began to see and experience for myself the living God and how he is the one who's going to get you through this. He will get you through this. I promise you. If you are listening and you're just sitting there and you're saying, God, I'm still struggling. I'm having anxiety attacks. I can't breathe. I want to be with my husband, but I can't because it's triggering me. If you're feeling like suicidal, you don't think that you have a way of escape. You think there's no way out. I'm here to tell you, I'm a living testimony that if you would just say, God, open your heart, open your mind, and say, Father, if you are there, he tells you, trust me and watch me prove myself. If you just stop what you're doing and say, Father, I don't care if you have a cigarette in your mouth or a drink in your hand, stop and say, Father, I need you. I need you to prove that you are God. And I guarantee you, he will do just that. He will prove that he is God. He will make a way of escape for you. He will make it so that even if you remember it, you will not relive it. I'm not telling you have to be around your offender, your abuser, or anything like that. No, I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that at all. But what I'm telling you is that he will make it so that you can live your life and live your life freely. Do you understand what I'm saying? Catch that. I'm proof you can live your life freely. You don't have to worry about this happening to you anymore or happening to your children or your grandchildren. He will make a way. He will encamp his angels about you, and you will be free.
Amen.
So that's what I have to say.
I appreciate it. We definitely got to have you back on the show. We only have a couple minutes left. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to have to invite you back on so we can, you know, have this conversation again and continue to spread the word of being able to forgive be able to get to that point and like you have in your life, Ms. Timely Bass. We definitely,
Thank you for having me.
So, like I said,
appreciate you having me.
No problem. So we'll definitely give you a call and have you come back on because I don't want to, I hated to rush this portion because this is very, this needs to be said, you know, things, and this needs to be addressed.
Yep. Okay. It'll help a lot of people.
Absolutely. Thanks again for taking time out on your busy, of your busy schedule to call in and share your testimony. We really, really appreciate it here.
You're very welcome. Have a good night, you guys. Be blessed.
All right, you do the same.
That was awesome.
Wow. I wish I, next, you know, I'm going to see if we can have her come back on because what she has to talk about, we just didn't have enough time because she called in at the 8 o'clock slot, at the 8 o'clock slot. And she has a lot to talk about. And that time goes by so fast right in there. So we need to have her call in around 7 next time.
Yeah.
So let me go ahead and get with the our words for our words to live by. I had it set up. Jesus, I was so caught up. And all right, we're gonna go with this. Matthew 22:37. Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind, not just some of it, all of it." Like I said, well, not like I said. Matthew 22:37 says, Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." That is the word to live by. That is the best verse, you know, that I can put, you know, to put together for the words of the words to live by. Thank you for calling in and listening to the Covenant Cafe. This is your host, Lamont Ferguson, and
Charlie Baltimore.
All right, till next time.